What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health with me, Georges Bertineau. I'm an online coach helping everyday people make everyday better decisions. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I've worked in professional sport for over 5 years. And I've also been a health and fitness expert for over a decade. And I'm here to talk to you about the world of health and fitness, supporting you whilst we navigate through a minefield of information on the internet and a world full of rubbish and deception. Each week, I'll be joined by a range of guests to dissect the latest fitness trends, separating facts from myth, and advising you on achieving your health goals the correct and healthiest way possible. I'm going to be joined today by Jeremy McConnell, who is a HYROX athlete, and Cara Keane, founder of Super Keen Foods. This week on Mythbusters, we are going to be discussing skin cancer. And joining me now is Dr. James Wilson, a leading lung and skin cancer specialist. Dr. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, George. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for joining me. How are you? Well?
You're great. That's quite the introduction. I'm quite excited to bust some myths. It's a bit ghostbustery, isn't it?
It is indeed. And that is exactly why you're here. You are going to help us debunk and bust some myths. So this month is Skin Cancer Awareness Month,
it is.
Correct?
Absolutely.
What are the main things we should look out for?
What should we look out for? So first things first, what we should look out for is not getting skin cancer. Okay. So what a lot of young people I speak to just don't think about is their health in 20, 30 years' time. And you must do a lot of this with your online coaching. You're sort of putting the foundations in for a long, healthy life, aren't you?
Longevity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And not just length, good quality length of time on this planet. So when it comes to skin cancer, you know, from childhood, you know, and I see my friends that have got young children, I see them slapping on the SPF. Even in our British winters and our British spring and summer times, which aren't that hot. But it's important that, you know, the UV radiation that puts you at risk of skin cancer in the future is there on the greyest of days. Mm. And I was thinking, actually, my worst sunburn that I've ever experienced was when I was working in Australia. And I went out in winter on a grey, horrible day. And the next day, I was sent straight to the plastic surgeons to get dressings, peeling and shedding everywhere. And they were really hot on it. Mm. You know, they were saying, look, you've been really irresponsible. What message are you giving to our patients that you're coming in here with sunburn? So I think people in the generation behind me and your people of your age, George, I think you do take it more seriously, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of it. I always make the joke that I use olive oil because, I've got a French heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Monoi, which is like very low SPF and kind of very oil-based. But that was a question I was going to ask you about UV rays coming through on cloudy days. So you still get on cloudy days the effects of the UV rays.
Of course you do. And even if people aren't interested in their skin cancer risk, think of the aging benefits. You know, if it's the UV radiation leads to those fine lines, those wrinkles, that the skin pigmentation changes and the dark spots that people, as they get older, wish that they didn't have. Mm. So if you start from an early age, I mean, the number of people having, you know, preventative Botox, you know, rather than having preventative Botox, why not just slap on a bit of SPF 30 plus?
True, very, very true.
It's cheaper, let me tell you.
I'm sure it is. Well, actually, if we buy suntan lotion at the airport, I don't think it is cheaper.
No, it is dear, isn't it? And there's all of this talk, I mean, you've probably seen it on social media about the tax on sun protection. Mm. So there's a number of very prominent dermatologists are calling on the government to reduce or abolish the tax on sun protection. Yeah, but I agree, rightly so. But there are so many products with SPF in there. Where do you draw that line? Where do you say this is a product that's purely about reducing somebody's skin cancer risk, or it's purely cosmetic? And I'm sure many of the cosmetic companies will find a ways of avoiding tax on their beauty product. Yeah. there's a fine line. We need to get that right.
Right. So we're usually told to look out for abnormal moles. Mm. Are there any other skin abnormalities we should keep an eye on? Skin tags, anything like that? Yeah.
Well, my feeling is with anything cancer-related, and what I always tell my patients is anything that could be cancer is a symptom or a sign that you notice. It changes over time rather than disappearing, so it progresses. And you know, and it just doesn't get better. So, you know, there's the A, B, C, D, E rule, isn't there, with a dodgy mole. So has there been a change in it, you know, its appearance? Okay. Has the border of the mole changed? Has it become irregular? Has the colour changed? And people always think, oh, moles that get darker are the ones that I worry about. But actually, the ones that get paler and lose their pigment, they're just as worrying. Has the diameter increased? And a rough guide on the diameter of a mole that you should be concerned about. And you're probably too old for this, George. Too young for this, George. You probably didn't have a pencil with rubber on the end of it at school.
I did, actually, yeah.
So if you've got a mole about the same diameter as that rubber on the end of that pencil, you should probably get it checked out.
And that's a raised mole, or is that a flat mole?
Raised
either?
Or flat. Fine. Yeah, if it's that size, get it checked out. And then E, is it evolving? Is it changing? Anything that's changing on your skin, just go and see your GP, get it checked out, and they'll refer you to have it either biopsied or assessed by somebody. He'll tell you where it is.
So would you say that's the best order? Go to your GP first, or would you always say a dermatologist, or just straight to a specialist?
Well, you know, it depends, isn't it? You know, if you're in the NHS, the route is always see your GP first. Your GP will make a 2-week referral where you need to be seen by a specialist within 2 weeks, and then they'll arrange the appropriate tests. And, you know, both the good and the bad thing in this country, we have these cancer targets. You know, that you're expected to be given a diagnosis within a certain period of time and then start a treatment if it is cancer within another period of time, you know, usually within 28, 31 days after making that diagnosis. So that's the system. You know, if you can afford it, if you can see somebody privately, just find a dermatologist you like to look up online and go and see them.
Okay. And we're seeing a rise in melanoma cases in the UK. Why do you think this is?
Do you know what? It's not something that I'm an expert in, but what I would say is that our lifestyles have completely changed, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, when I was, you know, I didn't leave the country on a sunny holiday till I was like 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. Now my nephews and niece, they're never in the country.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, they're always travelling somewhere sunny to have a nice time. But there are all sorts of other factors. You know, we're seeing cancer in younger people more and more, irrespective of the cancer type. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of hypotheses as to why that's happening. You know, my feelings are that our life is completely different to the way it was even 20, 30 years ago. Our diet's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, we're eating far more processed food
that we are
than ever before. I mean, you would see that with your clients, do you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big advocate of balance. Okay, so if you want a glass of wine, have a glass of wine. Make it fit into your lifestyle. You've got to have something that changes the way you do things. Actual balance is gonna get you results over long periods of time, not just a quick fix, not a 3 to 4 month burst. Oh, I lost 2 stone, fantastic, well done. Now, that's not the challenge. Challenge is keeping it off, keeping yourself balanced and enjoying yourself, because otherwise you wake up every day and you hate the process and you hate life.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been a victim of that, George. You know, I decide, right, I'm going on holiday, I'm going to do some exercise. I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week and, you know, do myself a bit of damage, don't go back again for 3 months. And it's that consistency and the regular healthy habits that are going to pay dividends.
Exactly. So are there any myths around skin cancer you would like to debunk?
A patient that I had recently was very young, and he was in his 20s, and he'd been diagnosed with, unfortunately, metastatic melanoma. And he'd had a lesion on his back for quite some time. And he thought, well, you know, I've got a naturally very dark pigmented skin. I don't burn easily. I'm only in my 20s. There's absolutely no way this is something that I need to get checked out. And by the time he came to see somebody else or met me, unfortunately that melanoma had spread to his liver and his brain, you know. So there's a real risk in just thinking this is just going to go away. You know, so if you'd use those general guides, that, you know, things that could be cancer are things that come, stay and change over time, and get it checked out as soon as you possibly can, then you're not going to run into those serious problems.
So you mentioned A, B, C, D, E earlier. Yep, so absolutely. Is that the protocol that we should, as listeners and people that aren't experts,
so should we whisk through that checklist again?
Yeah, go for it, please.
So A is for appearance. Has your mole changed in appearance? Yeah. B is for border. Has the border of your mole changed? Has it become more irregular? Does it now have an indistinct border? C is colour change. So if your mole has become darker or lighter, or even you can get some odd colours appearing in malls, like blues or reds.
Yeah, I was going to say some red, potentially.
Yeah, yeah, oddly. So if you see those appearing in malls, go and get it checked out. D is for diameter, so if it's anything above 5 or 6 millimetres, get it checked out. And E is for evolution. So malls that are changing, that are evolving over time, need to be checked out as a matter of urgency and get yourself seen.
Okay, thank you very much for that. There's been recent reports that tattoos can increase the risk of cancer. What do you make of this?
I think that's not something I've ever thought about, but that's fascinating. Because I find
the ink on the moles. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm a tattoo artist.
I guess one thing that I can think of where it would be a problem is if you've got a mole, if you've got a piece of skin that's heavily pigmented with a dark coloured ink, and then you've got a mole in that area that is changing, growing, you might not see it till it's quite advanced. And, you know, the thing with any cancer, the earlier you detect it, the less like it's going to cause you any serious problems. So if you've got a very early melanoma, your chance of being cured are in the high 90s.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, a high 90% chance. Whereas if, like that chap that I met that I just talked about earlier, unfortunately for him, he's never going to achieve a cure. No. Unfortunately, his treatment now, we're aiming at keeping the cancer controlled, shrinking it, addressing his symptoms. And you know, the beauty for melanoma is, compared to even when I was a registrar in oncology, the outcomes for melanoma are completely transformed, and a significant number of people with the best quality treatment are living for years after a diagnosis of metastatic melanoma, which is something I never thought I'd see, and I'm very pleased that I have.
I mean, we quickly go back on to what you said earlier about how, you know, our lifestyles have changed. I always say to people, like, anything can make you ill, but anything can make you better as well. And it's like modern day medicine has come on so far. And, you know, credit to the researchers and everyone that's raising money for charity and everyone who's kind of helping with that. And, you know, we spoke very briefly off camera or off air about just like the way to kind of treat things. You know, there are big pharm companies. Do you think there are potentially better cures out there that they're kind of keeping hold of, or I don't know? Like,
George, it's really interesting, George. I'm glad we've picked this up, because I am increasingly in my clinic seeing more people, and actually it's usually not the patient, it's usually their family members who've done a deep dive in social media, that can get really worked up and upset about various conspiracy theories. And one of the most common ones that comes up is about how Big Pharma have a cure for this cancer. They're just not getting enough money for it, so they're not releasing it. And it really changes the atmosphere in a consultation, that almost like, let me tell you, if I had a treatment that worked to get rid of your cancer,
I'd
absolutely give it to you.
Of course.
And you know, I just like to put it out there, you know, what if Big Pharma doesn't have that secret bullet, that secret magic bullet? Yeah, I'm sure it wishes that it does. And you know, it's very easy to villainize Big Pharma, and you know, do I think new drugs are too expensive? You know, probably, yes. But we've also got to bear in mind that without Big Pharma developing these drugs, we wouldn't have had the huge steps forward. You know, doing academic research, so that's sort of charity funded or research organisation funded researchers, is increasingly difficult because money's tight for everybody.
Exactly.
So it's the Big Pharma that are pushing through those new products. And, you know, Big Pharma isn't all bad. You know, if you think about a new product, getting a new drug from first detection through to market,
from trials to
it costs about £5 to £7 billion,
and a lot of time as well. I mean, and yes, they can rush things through. We look at, you know, COVID and stuff like that, things that got pushed too quickly. But
and the other thing that really, really makes me anxious and worried, and we've touched on this briefly outside as well, is all of these other adjunctive treatments that seem to be coming out, where people say, oh, there's some evidence that this drug, if you add it to a cancer cell in a petri dish, then it killed the cancer cell. And yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, if you put it in a cancer cell in an isolated environment, it could have an effect on it.
The body's smart.
The body's really smart, and cancer's unfortunately even smarter sometimes.
Yes.
So it really oversimplifies a really complex system. And yeah, I'm fine, you know, with my patients if they're saying, you know, I think there might be evidence that this might help. And if I know that that's a safe substance that's not going to cause them any harm, I think, you know, you do you.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, I don't have any evidence it's going to work, but equally, I don't have evidence it's going to cause you any harm. So please go ahead. But equally, I do have them sometimes. I had one patient once who was having treatment for cancer, and we just couldn't work out why her liver function tests, every time we tested them, were just getting worse and worse and worse. And it was a real challenge and a real head scratcher, and it looked like we're going to have to stop her cancer treatment, which is working on the cancer,
yeah,
but it was really affecting her liver.
Yeah, okay.
And eventually, a couple of months ago, I said, look, we think we're going to have to pull out, and we've reduced the dose already. Mm. Your liver's getting worse. And she said, oh, do you think it could be these herbal medicines that I've got from a Chinese herbalist? And when we looked at what was in them, there were some really heavy metals that were very toxic to the liver within the medicines she was taking.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I'm not saying that people should not explore other options or have a great understanding and ownership of their own cancer treatment. But what I would say is please tell your team of any supplements that you're taking so that they can be aware of them.
Okay.
And factor that into any decisions that they're making with you on your behalf.
Amazing. Amazing answer. Yeah. Right, we are sadly out of time.
No.
James, yeah, I know, it flies, doesn't it? We could talk all day. Yeah. Where can the listeners find you on social media? Do you have a website?
I do have a website. So my website is drjameswilson.co.uk, excludes the narcissism. My Instagram handle is @LondonOncologist. So please do come and see me there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, and you have a great rest of the day.
Great. Thanks, George.
Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by Jeremy McConnell, Hyrox athlete.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello.
The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, kids were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Moving on to our next topic, which is going to be with Jeremy McConnell, Hyrox athlete.
You got it right.
Jeremy, how are you, my friend? You okay?
Good, my friend. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for joining us. Right, so you are a Hyrox athlete. How did you first get into it?
Yeah, I suppose my journey in High Rocks was kind of, it just started in the local gym in Staffordshire. And it was just about kind of getting in shape first, because I kind of came from, I was a bit overweight. I was 120 kg at the time and I was unfit. And yeah, it was kind of just the lads in the gym had done one. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got in. I obviously got a little taste for it. It was obviously a shock to the system the first time. Predominantly, I'm very fast twitch from my days in football.
Yes.
You saw me on the pitch as well.
Yeah. You can play. That's why I was like, oh, okay, this guy can play. Yeah.
So I had a lot of learning to do, obviously developing a different, totally different system, you know, your cardiovascular system. I was very fast twitch, like I said, and it's kind of the opposite then. You need to kind of develop the slower twitch muscles, a lot of base work. And yeah, it's kind of how I got into it, and it's just been a process since then. So it's about probably 2.5 years ago since I first done one.
Okay, so 2.5 years was when you started. Mm. And because obviously High Rocks recently has become super, super popular. We're talking sold out events. Mm. They're all over the world and you've been doing loads of them. What do you think is behind the rise in the popularity?
I think the rise in High Rocks is because anybody can do it. You know, there's no specific movements that, you know, we can't do. It's very very much in the reach of anybody to do. And even the adaptive division in High Rocks now is, you know, they've put so much work into that. So you see some amazing stories from people that have, you know, that have lost limbs and, you know, they just back everybody. So I think it's a very capable sport, and I think, you know, hard work beats talent. If talent doesn't work, you know that saying. So
yeah,
I think
true.
A lot of people, if they want to develop their cardiovascular fitness and go into High Rocks, it just takes a little bit of time to put your, you know, put effort into your training and keep developing the certain zones needed. So it's definitely for everybody, and I think that's why the rise is. So, you know, if you ask me to do a muscle up, I might be there for a while. So
yeah.
It's easier to obviously do lunges and wall balls. It's just in the means of everybody's your everyday athlete.
So it's a lot more inclusive, isn't it? Because the running is the intense part, right? Because it's so explained. I have a vague idea, but for the listeners. How many stations, how much running, like what is the average time of, obviously yourself, you're probably sub an hour, around about an hour maybe, I'm assuming?
So it depends what division. There's obviously, you have a pro division, you've got an open division. The pro division would have heavier weights, then you've got the doubles division, there's an open division to that, and then there's a heavier division.
Okay.
And then you've got a relay. So there's different races you can do, but yeah, I suppose it just depends on kind of which one you choose to do. That's whatever one you can push yourself towards. But I mainly do the doubles at the moment. With my view is to obviously compete in the top division next year.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, it takes time. I know my weaknesses and I'm trying to work on them to kind of develop myself to approach it.
So do the exercises change, or are they pretty much always the same? Because obviously I go off my knowledge of CrossFit, right? Because I know CrossFit was a big community thing, but it wasn't very inclusive because it was so hard to complete, like you said, a muscle up, or, you know, I don't know if you do double unders, which is obviously skipping rope, or power cleans, or overhead squats, and all these like complex Olympic lifts.
Yeah.
There's now been a sport that has come out which is more cardiovascular based, but still very gym and community based, and it's gone boom.
Absolutely, yeah. So going back to your original question, it's eight runs, it's eight 1K runs.
Eight 1Ks.
And then it's a functional element of fitness in between, so there's eight of them also. And then you've got a thing in between, which is the rock zone. So it's just obviously the area you need to go out to do your 1K run again.
Okay.
So in total, you're probably looking at about, you know, 9.5 to 10K of running, which probably, you know, you want to be keeping a lot of the top end athletes on the upper echelons would be running in zone 5, probably in the red zone, you know, but you mainly want to be hitting your threshold for the runs.
Yeah.
And then your functional elements, you just need to, it kind of contradicts itself because it's, you need to develop that speed and kind of aerobic.
Your rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Your active rest.
Some people say you should be recovering on the runs, but, you know, if you're running at a fast pace, it's difficult. So it eats into each other, because it's obviously the strength side you need, and then the running contradicts that. So it's finding that sweet spot, which is kind of good for, you know, whichever type of athlete you are. I think predominantly now you see a lot of, they say the triathletes are kind of the ones that kind of have the upper edge if you're coming into it newly. But yeah, there's the argument of if you're coming from a CrossFit, if the weights are a bit heavier,
yeah,
they're the type of people. But there's a bit of a debate about the how the sleds are moving at the moment and stuff like that. So, you know, I think having a running background is it's probably the main...
Helps.
Yeah, it definitely helps, I'd say, coming off a running background.
Okay, going into running, you recently completed the Marathon des Sables, which is of the sand, yeah?
Yes.
What was that experience like for you?
Yes.
Because I saw you, obviously, on socials.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like, it looks super cool.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, look, I've come through a bit of a varied past, you know. I was obviously... I had my stint in kind of the media side of things as well, George, you know. So I've always made a pledge to myself that, you know, I'm going to fix my life. And I tried to challenge myself, kind of. I tried to do it annually, if it's once a year or whatever I'd done. It may not be the... you know, a big mountain, but I done Kilimanjaro last year. Sure, they say they're building McDonald's on the top of them. So, you know, it's still
you at the top
in itself. You know, it's a decent feat to have. And then obviously I done Marathon des Sables this year, and you know, I looked to then go on and try. I'd look to do like Everest and that in time, but obviously you need a lot of climbing experience and that. But I'd like to push myself on these things. Going into Marathon des Sables, I didn't know much about it.
Okay.
I was actually just going to use it as like base training to go into the Worlds in Chicago for HYROX.
Fine.
So yeah, it's 250 kilometers over the week, up sand dunes, and you know, you need to just make sure you're fueling correctly, and you know, you're not really getting much rest, kind of, with the, you know, the sandstorms.
Yeah. So you're literally living in the desert.
Yeah, you're in the desert in tents with, you know, seven other lads, and yeah, it's not the it's not the comfiest, you know.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
and I looked great, but the experience was tough and grueling. And
yeah, so there's the 82 kilometers day was really tough. That was kind of midway, and that's the long stage, and that can break you. You know, I think in itself, I was trying to pace myself, but I'm competitive at the same time, so I kept wanting to push. Yeah. You know, and I think I hit 65k, and I was like, for my size, I'm 95 kg, and I'm 6'4". You know, so I'm a big enough unit for an ultra, but I think I hit 65k on the 82k day, and I literally couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of just get some more fuel into my system, and it was just about completing it, because I thought I would DNF, and you know, luckily I got to the end, and then I pushed on. I came third in the final stage, which was a good one against all the light Moroccan lads, but it was a great experience. And again, it's about challenging yourself, and you know, mentally and physically as well. You know, it's just you versus the man in the mirror, and I will continue to kind of keep pushing myself in those ways.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like you said, man in the mirror, it's that mindset, it's the thought of, you know, don't give up and just keep going. How do you train for something like that?
I have high mileage in towards of, like, putting it towards HYROX anyway. Okay. You know, so I didn't run weighted or anything. I honestly, I booked Marathon des Sables, and I packed two nights before it. You know, I didn't even know I had a medical. I had to go book a medical in London.
Really?
You had to get an ECG and stuff like that, and I'd done that on the way to the airport. And yeah, it was just lastminute.com, but I flew out, like, I just went over there, and I felt like my base was good enough to get me through. And yeah, I suppose I said I wasn't going to go out hot the first day, but I flew out of the blocks like a lunatic, thinking it was a HYROX, you know, trying to keep up with the big boys. And yeah, you hit that first sand dune and your heart rate's about, I was tipping
through
red.
The roof. Yeah.
But yeah, again, I like to just throw myself into it and learn on the spot. And I think, you know, I humbled myself. Yeah, well, it wasn't third overall. It was third on the last stage. I think I was
strong.
Top 23 out of 1,000 or something, so I was decent.
But top 23 out of something that you don't overly train for.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
It's okay.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it's,
you know,
decent. I was happy with it.
Credit to yourself, man.
Thank you, George.
So, what do you prefer? HYROX or ultra races?
HYROX all day long, mate. Jesus. You see that ultra stuff? That's a different level. You know, I have kudos, the respect out of them lads. And, you know, even in HYROX, you see some absolute units tipping 100 kg. And to be moving around the track at that way, you know what I mean? And it's special. Like that, I think that is, when you talk about hybrid athletes, someone that's that heavy going through, you know, them stations like that, it's phenomenal. So I'd be picking HYROX. Unless I'm bad at burpees, bro, you know, like,
yeah, but you're tall, so you get that a little bit further. You think about it, every inch counts, remember that, man.
Absolutely. Heard that before.
Right, so you're competing in the HYROX World Championship and you are representing Ireland. What was it like to get the call up?
Yeah, so I have the Elite Pro, the Pro Doubles with Dylan Scott, which is, I think, actually the international relays the night before that. So, yeah, that's with Sean, Aoife, and Lisa O'Rourke. It's a fantastic team, you know. Sean gave me the call up. I wasn't expecting it, to be quite honest with you. I know I had a good season and that, but there's so much talent in Ireland and in Hyrox in general. So, yeah, I'm strong over them stations, you know, the stations that I've got chosen for, and I'm quick over the runs. Mm. So, yeah, I was very grateful to accept it. You know, you have to kind of balance. Obviously, I was prepping for the Pro Doubles with Dylan, so the night before, some people say it's only two stations, it's not going to affect you, but I've done a relay before, a race before, and it certainly, you know, you need to manage yourself after the relay. You need to get onto the bike straight away, spin the legs and get the compression boots on, and you know, make sure you're primed and ready for your next race. But I was never going to turn it down to represent my country,
of course,
especially where I've come from. I was snapping the hands off Sean, so us Irish are mad, so we'll go out there and we'll try and send it, and hopefully we'll do a.
So that means you've got two races back to back.
Yeah. So I've got the international relay is the Friday night, and then the Saturday night is the Elite Pro Doubles race with Dylan. So
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but Dylan's racing three times. Dylan's got to that. He's in the Elite 15 singles. Then he's doing the relay for America, and then he's got three races. So, wow. We'll see how it goes. It's one of those, you know. You want to be fresh going into your A race, but you can't refuse your international. You can't refuse your country, right?
Of course you can't. Of course. Would it work like other sports? You get a cap? How will it work?
I don't know. I presume.
You'd assume so.
Yeah. I've the briefing we got, I think we get a pair of shorts. But so I don't know if there's a. I think we only have to fill in shorts. I didn't see a t-shirt there, but normally the t-shirts come off in Hyrox anyway. That's the joke, right?
Yeah, well, so, it's like it was like CrossFit back in the day, and now it's Hyrox. It's like it's the first one to take their t-shirt off.
Exactly.
Do you even start with a t-shirt?
No, I don't, mate.
Exactly.
Jeez, mine comes off when I get out of the taxi.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
yeah.
I mean, to get into the venue, but no, it's a great spectacle, and like I said, Hyrox has changed so many people's lives, and it will continue to rise, and you know, it certainly helped me in life, and I can. See, you know, so many positive results coming from it, so it's an absolute amazing sport.
How do you think they can grow the sport now? Do you think more events? Mm. Are you thinking they need to do they have also like ambassadors like yourself, like someone like yourself who has a big social media page? Would that benefit them? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not an ambassador for Hyrox, no. Again, I'll just champion anything that's good for people. At the same time, you know, I'll always speak honestly. You know, I feel like it can create a certain amount of pressure the higher you go. I think people need to understand and not forget the reason they get into it. Because with me, obviously, it was to lose weight and to compete and to at a good level. Yeah. But the higher you go, the more you want to win. And I think that element of greed can go against you. Sometimes I think, you know, I don't really speak about my training, and volume because you can give people an inferior complex, you know, like some people have families, some people are, you know, they're working daily and they might feel, you know, this guy's training, why can't I do that? And it's just unfair, you know, but
the comparison is the thief of all joy. Someone
exactly.
who might compete against you might naturally have a better CV system or they might be naturally better built for burpees,
absolutely,
or lunges, or something, or one of the exercises. But like you said, that you feel that the running is kind of the place that you pick up the most.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I feel if you're gonna make, you know, if you're gonna save time in this sport, it's gonna be through your running. But then I've seen everybody, you know, and they get that level of threshold that they can build. You know, there's very few that are gonna run under, say, like 3:30s, unless you're an absolute, you know. And if you're running a lot quicker than 3:30, I would feel you were going to struggle on the heavier elements.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I've seen so many people when it gets to the wall balls, that's where it can take souls as well.
Okay.
You know, some people can just bosh them up. But, you know, I'm getting a nosebleed up there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Again, it's tough. But that's the beauty of it. It can catch you in any, you know, I suppose the wall balls is probably one that will stand out. The sleds are another big ones. But the sleds are moving quick for everybody. Mm. It's not going to really...
Yeah.
You know, it's not really going to make a massive difference.
Final question.
Yes.
What is your biggest piece of advice for someone wanting to start their fitness journey?
My biggest advice, throw yourself into it. You know, make sure you're surrounded by a positive network. We're products of our environment, right? So I would say get yourself into a gym, speak to people. And again, like I threw myself into MDS, Marathon des Sables, just, you know, give it a go. Sometimes it's you know, jump into the pool and just swim. It's sometimes better that way.
Doing.
Exactly, doing, yeah. And not kind of procrastinating about things sometimes. Just give it a shot because, like I said, you know, especially mental health these days, you know, I think it's important to get into the gym. I dread sometimes, you know, getting out for a run, but, you know, I've always kind of felt a lot better afterwards, and yeah, that's where the beauty is. And if you can fall in love with something like that, it can really, it can help change your life, you know. So that's the advice I'd give.
Amazing. Thank you so much, man. Right, where can people find you on socials?
Yeah, Instagram.
Yeah.
If they want to find me, yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Jeremy McConnell, yeah. So if anyone has any questions, High Rocks related, or if anyone needs a chat in general, they can just always shoot me a DM and I'll answer.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon, man.
Thank you, George.
Thank you. Right, guys, coming up after this, we're going to be joined by Cara Keane, founder of Super Keane Foods.
Food Bar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction: send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I said I love you, and you were like, I love you too, and I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining me now is Cara Keane, founder of Super Keane Foods.
Hi.
Cara, hello.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. How are you? Well,
I'm very well, thank you. Really good. The weather's nice and I'm kind of out and about from Manchester, so it's always a nice little change.
Nice little day trip. That's exactly what we like.
Yeah.
Right, tell us why you started Super Keane and, you know, just tell us about the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So around 4 years ago, I started getting these really severe symptoms, and they started with blisters on my hands, and then that just started to kind of escalate, and they appeared on my face and all over my body, really. And at the time, I was just thinking, oh, I'm just stressed. I'm sure that's just the reason for it. And some of the symptoms, like, included just being really tired. I remember I went to the hairdressers and I fell asleep getting my hair cut, and I was mortified. I was thinking, oh my God, like, how tired am I? But I was like, do you know what? It's just stress. I just need a good sleep. And then I noticed a lot of hair loss, and that hair loss kind of just really became quite extreme. And then I had kind of patches of alopecia. And then I thought, this is looking a bit more serious now. And I didn't know how to kind of stop this hair loss or stop these blisters from forming.
So I
had gone to the doctors. I'd gone to the doctors previous about my blisters, and then they'd suggested it was chilblains. And I thought,
oh,
okay, midsummer, not too sure whether they are chilblains.
I would have said the same.
It was just, it all spiraled. And to be honest, I went to the doctors and they gave me a little leaflet and they said, yeah, you've got lupus. And I had some blood tests as well. From that point on, I just thought, what is my life going to look like? I essentially was told that I might have to be on chemotherapy and immunosuppressants and steroid cycling essentially for the rest of my life and not go out in the sun. It was a really scary time for me, and I hadn't really known much about it prior to obviously being diagnosed. So it has been a journey. And from then on, I just made it my mission to try and help myself as much as possible. And I wasn't, you know, willing to accept that kind of lifestyle of just relying on steroids, to be honest. Just really threw myself into learning as much as I could about gut health, overall wellness. And that's what led me to create Super Keen. So yeah, it's we've recently launched, but it's been like 4 years in the making. Been developing alongside teaching. So I'm so excited that it's finally launched.
I have no doubt. And what's the reaction been like? Has it been positive?
Oh, it's been incredible and really heartwhelming to hear this feedback from people that struggle to find foods, that if they've got allergies, you know, and they're always looking on the back of box and to see the labels and ingredients, and people are really, it's been incredible. And so many people have reached out with their own autoimmune stories or lupus. And it's been incredible. It makes me really emotional because it makes me realise everyone's on their own health journey, and if I can help someone a little bit with some advice, because I feel like I've been the lowest of the low. I really didn't think I would get out of it. So whenever I chat to anyone, I just want to help them, really.
And I have no doubt, and I think it's amazing that you've taken what happened to you and you've thought, I'm not going to let this take me down, and I'm going to create something to help myself, but also others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was definitely a time where I just kind of buried my head in the sand and I was like, you know, this is me. I just accept this. And just really hopeless.
Would have been a shock, right?
Oh, it was 25? Such a shock. Yeah. And I thought, I really, and then you start thinking about, you know, life and children, and you're like, oh my gosh. And at the time I was single and I was like, I'm never going to find anyone. And it just makes you just, I felt like I mourned a life that I should have had. That just led me to, I think when you're at your lowest, you feel like actually it drove me to think that actually nothing can be as bad as this. So I've just got to make the most of it, try heal myself and hopefully help people along the way.
Rightly so. So tell us about Super Keens. What exactly, so it's products without certain...
Yeah, absolutely. So our cereal, I had been researching, and this all was 4 years ago now, but researching ingredients that were gut friendly and no matter what your dietary requirements are, you could enjoy them. And I really wanted to make the most inclusive food brand possible. So our cereal consists of tiger nut flour, which is a bit of a niche ingredient, and everyone says, is that a nut?
Tiger nut
flour. Yes. So they're actually part of the tuber family. So they're grown under ground, tiger nuts, and they are incredible. I remember reading up about them 4 years ago, and I thought, how
fascinating.
Do you know, I hadn't heard of them, but a handful of tiger nuts, the same vitamin E as six avocados.
Oh.
They're really high in fiber, high in resistant starch, so it's great for your gut health and digestion, and it doesn't make you feel rubbish afterwards, you know, like a lot of cereals often do, and they have got a bad rep. They're quite
high in sugars, aren't they?
Yes,
and,
yeah.
I mean, they're great before a gym session, but in a small quantity.
Yeah.
Not in, like, I would probably
Absolutely.
Do 100 grams.
Yeah. And I think as well, being a primary school teacher, I definitely saw that it was, you know, these cereals that were very questionable, the children were just loving, and I was thinking, there has to be a better way.
There's a crash.
Oh my gosh, there really is. Tiger nut flour is one of the main ingredients in cassava flour. Again, really high in resistant starch, and it's great for digestion and gut health. And then the coating's all natural and organic, coconut oil, date syrup and coconut sugar. Cool. So you're just eating kind of all natural goodness, instead of anything processed.
Mm-hmm.
And just really wanted everyone to feel included, so you don't have to worry about looking at the back of the box. So everything's been really thought through from, you know, every ingredient.
From the heart as well
as
the gut.
Yes.
Because that's what
we're
working on,
right? I need to use that, actually.
Well, you know, we can get that signed off. Do you think there's enough information out there about conditions like lupus?
I think there is a growing awareness. I feel like 4 years ago when I found out, the only reference I knew was the typical, like, Selena Gomez reference. But that kind of made me none the wiser, because I was thinking, you know, these symptoms are really severe. How do I help myself? And I actually had no one to reach out to. So I hope that there is a gaining kind of bit of information online. I know that there's, like, growing communities. So hopefully I can help provide more information about it, because it is, it is an interesting condition.
Mm.
I think with autoimmune conditions, there's over 100 types. And it's essentially your own immune system attacking itself.
Yeah, I've heard.
And then I really found it hard to deal with, you know, why is it happening to me? I was like relatively like healthy, like super fit.
It's dealing with it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Mentally, it might be like, why is my body doing this? Like, I look after myself. Like you said, 100%. You thought you were stressed, and obviously I understand about stress-induced alopecia and how for women it's a lot more uncomfortable than it is for men, because obviously hair is so important for women. Whereas, you know, you see a lot more bold men than you do women.
Yeah.
So, that must have been quite...
It really was. And it was a real eye-opener to me, because I think the impact it had just on, you know, my mental health, it was really difficult at times. Mm. And I suppose even when having flare-ups, so it's when your symptoms kind of reoccur.
Yeah.
And I often get that if I'm quite run down or I'm not really particularly looking after myself.
The routine's important for you?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I think I'm probably a bit too on it with my routine, I feel like.
No such thing.
But I think, like, my family and friends around me are very, you know, understanding. If I'm kind of feeling a flare-up happening, or, you know, I'm just run down, it is definitely a sign, like, my blisters start appearing on my hands. It's time to just go back to that routine and just reassess things.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. So when you get a flare-up, you would potentially rest more, recover, hydration. Yes. You'd obviously have your super keen foods.
Mm-hmm.
To obviously get that in there, obviously.
Love that.
You know, little name drop.
Yes. I think sleep is, that's something I have really... I suppose struggled with, because, you know, even if I'm having a flare up and I know the things, it's so frustrating, because I know the things I need to do to help manage it.
Mm.
But at times life can just throw, you know, spanners in the works.
When routine goes out of whack.
Yeah, and it happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. And it is hard to sometimes, you know, get back on track with things. But definitely for me, sleep and stress management and diet is a huge thing.
Mm.
And I was reading up and... About gut health, and actually 70% of the immune system is regulated through gut health. So, you know, if that's off kilter, your whole immune system is off kilter.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
So changing your diet helped with your lupus?
Yes, yeah. I definitely... everything from healthy fats, and I'm big into supplementation.
Okay.
So yeah, I found that really helped with my hair regrowth. You know, gosh, I'm like a bit of a supplement nerd. Like,
okay.
if you saw kind of my supplements, you'd be like, she needs help.
The shrine of supplements. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I probably just, but I do find that it's a bit of a therapy for me, because, you know, I feel like actually I'm
routine
myself. Yes.
See, exactly. Wake up, have your coffee, have your collagen,
yes.
have your supplements.
Yes.
Yeah, it works. And
it
it's
does.
Important because routine can really, really give you a lot. Like a sense of calmness.
Yeah, it can.
Because you, instead of panicking, yeah. you're stressed, and little
totally.
Things like that
mm-hmm.
can really, really affect
yeah.
people in all shapes and forms.
Totally.
Really.
And it's like, I suppose when certain things feel out of control, you know, you can always go back to what makes you feel good. And it's the
yes.
little things on a daily basis. And even, you know, like a daily walk for me, it sounds so small, but it makes a huge difference.
That it does.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally and physically.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
People can change their bodies just from a better diet, no, a better lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the word diet. No such thing as a diet. It's a lifestyle
yeah, I
choice.
Agree. Yeah.
You pick it up and you put
mm-hmm.
it in your mouth, you put it in your fridge.
Yeah.
You know, if you eat the contents of your fridge and then you look like a fridge, you have no one else to blame apart from yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you can still make the better decisions
totally.
To improve that.
100%.
So,
yeah.
Gut health has recently become
yes.
a far more popular topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it is? Because of these
yeah.
autoimmune diseases?
Yeah. And
because
I think there's so many digestive issues arising, and like really, really scary, like colon cancer. And,
yes.
You know,
IBS, Crohn's, lots
yeah.
of things like that.
And it
moment.
Is something that I'm noticing that a lot of people have reached out about to me. And I think the emphasis now, you know, it's like the importance of fiber and
mm.
just getting that well-rounded diet, like way of eating. And yeah, it's something that I've been chatting to a lot of people in the food world about, because I think that's going to be, yeah, it's just a growing importance. And it is really worrying, actually, mm. that so many people are suffering. Yeah.
Well, I heard something a while ago, so I don't know how accurate or valid it is, but there was someone that said to me, or I read something that said, a packet of broccoli 25 years ago is the equivalent of like 5 packets of broccoli now, because they're just not as nutritionally
yeah.
dense,
mm-hmm.
which I could kind of believe,
yeah,
because everything's kind of produced so
is.
Much more produced.
Yeah, it is.
So.
Do you know what? It's very questionable. I think, you know, the quality of food products out there, that's why I always tend to reach for organic, because that's just a conscious decision.
Mm.
And yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people's diets now, I think obviously people are aware of processed foods. That's not great to be reaching for.
Mm.
But you do question like the nutritional kind of qualities of, you know, broccoli and your vegetables, you know, whether they are like as highly nutritious as they used to be.
Are they actually green, or are they just dyed green?
Who knows
these days?
Who knows? Me and my mum were like, God, health nerds.
Yeah.
So we're like researching all these
things.
I love
that stuff.
I know, yeah.
What is one piece of information you think everyone should know about lupus?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd recently been really surprised. Actually, the diagnosis for lupus on average takes 6 to 7 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
When people chat to me about not being able to be diagnosed, a double-edged sword for me, because I'd been so poorly
mm.
in such a kind of 2-month period that I was diagnosed really quickly.
Yeah.
But I do feel for people that have, you know, these symptoms, and that they flare up, and then they kind of, you know, the flare-ups.
Comes and goes,
yeah,
comes and goes.
So
but
actually,
it gets worse every time.
Yeah, it does. Mm. So people really struggle with getting that diagnosis. But you know, I actually would really suggest to, you know, reach out to people like who are going through something similar. And I suppose, you know, if I couldn't imagine having that, that journey without being diagnosed, because I think the unknowing must be really, add to the stress of it all.
Yeah.
So really kind of... that, you know, if those symptoms align and that kind of varies across autoimmune conditions, I really don't give up with, you know, trying to get to the bottom of that. And I think that's not just with going to the doctors, but trying to like seek out that information where you can, with like reliable sources and, you know, online. There's some really great kind of health professionals that are not necessarily, you know, like you have to visit the doctors to, yes, to kind of seek that medical help. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing
for
stuff.
Thank
Where
you.
Can people find you on socials? Do you have a yes. website?
Yes. So we are Super Keen Foods on Instagram. And our website is superkeenfoods.com. And we're currently being sold in Whole Foods, Planet Organic, and Selfridges. And yeah, hopefully more retailers to come. So,
amazing.
Yeah, I'm
Fingers
excited.
Crossed.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, George.
I'll speak
thank
to you
thank
soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank
yes.
you very much. Bye. Right, guys, now we're going to be moving on to the outro of the show. I just want to thank everyone for today. So just a massive thank you to Dr. Wilson, Jeremy and Cara for joining us today on What the Health. This is just a little reminder for people. You can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What the Health Show on Instagram. If you want any help with your health and fitness goals, I provide a top-tier coaching service, which is no BS, problem-solving and hand-holding every step of the way. If this is of interest to you, please reach out to me at gb.fitness.health. Also, the show will be available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. Just once again, a massive thank you from me. Reminder that next week I'll be back at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm Georges. Thank you for listening. You have a great day. Love you. Bye.